This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida, welcoming you to our program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon, so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. But if you can't and there's something you heard or you would like to listen to it again, we do offer a CD. So all we ask for is a love offering. So you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413. Box 413 in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday and for a whole hour, and we pray as we open always before we come on the air that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to talk to you about all this. And there's so much in the Word of God, and we base everything on the Word of God, and we're in the translation I believe that God wants us to stay in, the King James Version. I think it's so wonderful. It's one book. One book stands alone. It's this book. And also it's one book and one authority. This is the authority that God wants us to have in our lives. And so we're honored to be here with you. So have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you even this day. And we'll move right in. And you know, we just came through the season of Hanukkah. And yeah. There's some interesting things. And we got a word during Hanukkah about Judah the Maccabee. He was called the Hammer. This is the year of the hammer.
Amen.
This is the year of the hammer. Thank you, Lord. The hammer. And who's the hammer right now? Judah Maccabee was one. We got one today. His name is President Donald Trump. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's banging the hammer, and some things are being changed. And it's amazing what we see. And so they passed this tax bill. Everybody's thinking this is terrible. Well, look what it's already produced. You know, the people's going to have more money in their pockets and all that. Now we got all these CEOs and big companies. What are they doing? They're resigning.
Many of them.
Donna's got a whole list of them. I mean, from big companies, they're resigning their position because they know there's something in the air that's going to happen, and it's happening fast. And so this is just showing me that we're in the last of the last days, and we're coming down.
In the last of the last days.
And things are being concluded. Things are being put in. I think about what's going on in Jerusalem now. They're wanting to bring the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and all hell's broke loose over there with the Muslims. But the Jews are out in the streets. They're dancing. It reminds me of the days in Tabernacles, you know. And so they're so happy. And they're 100% with President Trump. And so we got some things going on right now today that the Bible talks about these things, what's going to happen.
And because he's a leader,
That's right.
Other countries are going to be bringing their embassies also to Jerusalem. Where is there any place else in the Bible that we're to pray for any other place?
That's right.
No, it says that we're to pray for Jerusalem.
The peace of Jerusalem also.
We're to pray for Jerusalem, of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Yeshua walked the streets,
Amen.
The dusty streets of Jerusalem. And so we are to pray. We're told to pray. And, you know, our president has set a standard.
Sure has.
You know, there's parallels in the Bible. Maybe we'll talk about a few parallels
today.
That repeat over and over. But I got the word about the hammer. You know, a hammer can build and it can also tear down.
That's right.
And so many of these things are being torn down. You have to tear down. You know, you're not going to build on on a structure that's cracked and you know, it's not a firm foundation. You got to start fresh.
That's right.
So you got to tear down the old
and then rebuild.
And then you got to start fresh, and you got to start fresh on the right foundation. Well, we got to talk about the right foundation, because we know the right foundation is none other than Jesus Christ.
You got it.
Is none other but Jesus Christ. And so this nation, our nation, started on the right foundation.
Hallelujah.
But look where we have drifted to. The building is cracked and leaning and about ready to crumble. So, you know, God wants to give us a chance. And I believe that he's given us a president who will help to give us a chance to rebuild on the right foundation. But, you know, it has to be up to the people. What do the people want?
That's right.
Well, before we start and get so excited, we want to mention that we're just blessed to be on WCNO. We're also on the internet, so you can catch this radio program on WCNO.com, and you can actually listen to it again, or you can listen to a number of programs we've done. Just go to their podcast, and you know, WCNO is on 24/7.
Amen.
Wonderful teaching, wonderful music, and you can always listen to it anywhere in the world, and you can always listen to a program that's been on maybe 6 weeks ago. You know, we have a whole list of programs that have been on
sure.
there.
I don't know how long they keep them over there.
A lot. Oh, there must be 200 or more. I don't know how many, but you'd have to ask Pastor Tom.
Yeah, we've been on 20-plus years.
Yeah. On the radio station. Yeah. But, you know, it's just a wonderful radio station, and it goes around the world. It's everywhere. So people anywhere, so you can tell your friends or your relatives or family that maybe not live in this area, that they can listen to this teaching as well, because we try to bring forth news and prophetic things and things that have to do with now and the prophecies that have been fulfilled and still the prophecies that are being fulfilled.
And the ones that are repeating, the essence behind it repeats again
and
again.
The things that repeat, right. And we try to talk about the Torah as well, because there's things in the Torah. We've been talking about Joseph. Well, you know, Joseph is a picture of Yeshua.
Sure is.
Of Jesus. And the way he lived his life. You know, we've been talking about that. And Joseph is an awesome example of how a Christian should live. Well, I want to also give you our phone number and say hello to you all out there. And we thank you for listening. And we certainly could use your support. If you can find it in your heart to send an offering to this radio broadcast, you can send it to Spirit of Prophecy. Post Office Box 413, that would be in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then the zip code there is 34995.
Mm-hmm.
34995. Also, I want to say that we have services here in Stuart, Florida, every Friday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Amen. So we honor the Sabbath, and we also worship. Come together to worship God, because the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
And you can find that in Revelation 19:10.
Yes.
In the tail end of it. And I'm going to give you our phone number. So if you'd like to call, if you have prayer needs, if you ask Jesus in your heart, call. We'll pray with you. If you have questions,
sure will.
We'll try to answer your questions. Mm-hmm. We just do the best we can. Amen. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. I always like to say we're 007.
We're agents.
And we also have a church that's being built by Roscoe and Audrey Walks, their church over in the Bahamas on Andros Island.
We say hello to them.
Say hello to you, the temple of God, and the people there.
Be blessed.
And, they are also building a beautiful building to worship the Lord in. It's called the Temple of God. So if you'd like to help, pay for some wood
for the roof. Trusses on the roof right
that's
now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the next thing to go is get the roof on and get everything all sealed in. And here we go. Amen. So you can call that number. You can give us a call. We'd love to be able to talk to you about that, or need to go visit them. If you happen to go to the Bahamas and you go to Andros Island, you need to go and visit the Walks. They're on Conch Sound, and you can't miss that church. Amen. It's
called Roscoe and Audrey Walks. That's right.
In the process of being built right now. Amen. So we say hello to everyone out there.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're getting ready to go into a new year. I've got to do a new calendar. If anybody wants a calendar, we do a calendar that has to do with this year, 20, 18, and also the year 57,
78.
Both of them have eights on the end.
Same with my birthday, too.
And your birthday is the first day of January.
And I'll be 78.
Happy birthday, Pastor Gene.
Thank you very much.
next week's your birthday.
Hard to believe.
Yes, it is.
But thinking about this, the hammer.
Well, let me finish.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
So, yes, so if you'd like to have that calendar, you can just give us a call. And because we also put the months of the Hebrew months on there, and so you can see when the new months start, because the Bible that we study from and that you study from as well mentions the different months in the Bible, talks about the first day of the month. So we need to know what month it is and what the first day, which is the first day.
And what calendar we're on.
And which calendar we're on, because, you know, the first day of the Jewish calendar is not the first day of January.
That's right.
So it would be different. So it's like two calendars on one sheet. So if you'd like a copy of that, and I also put the Hebrew alphabet on there so we can learn the Hebrew alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
So, get in there and start learning some things and start studying, because, you know, when we go back to, when we find out about our roots, that also includes the calendar and what names mean. Everybody's name means something. You know, I think about with Joseph, what his name mean? I think about Benjamin. Benjamin's name means son of the right hand, doesn't it?
That's right.
So everybody's name, even your name, my name, it means something.
That's right.
And I think it speaks of our destiny and our purpose. And, you know, God knows everybody's name, doesn't he?
Sure does.
So we're going to talk about some parallels.
Some patterns. I love patterns in the Bible.
And the one pattern that I saw for this year. And you know, we need to join up with Maccabee.
That's right.
Well, we need to join up with our president, and we need to pray for him daily, and we need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord and pray that he have the wisdom, the discernment, the people around him. Because, you know, he's got a lot of people around him that are good, but there's still a lot of them around there that are snakes.
Yeah.
And they would like to tie him up so he can't move.
Even some of the Republicans.
And even destroy him. But see, even these, like I mentioned, all these CEOs of, I mean, Pepsi Cola.
Yeah.
I mean, all the, and Disney World. Yeah. I mean, I could start listing, naming them.
AT&T.
All of these CEOs are coming down because of wrongdoings, and they've been found out.
So they're going to run now.
And didn't our president say that he was going to drain the swamp?
Sure is.
Well, it's happening. And, you know, it's not just in one party. No.
It's in both parties.
It's in both parties.
Sure.
You know, the elite, they don't care which party. They just want to be able to manipulate some party, some people. And so thinking to manipulate people.
And control us.
They could control us, yeah. See, so because they want this one world government.
Yep, that's the plan.
Well, our president is talking about draining the swamp. That means getting rid of the corruption. And that has to do with a lot of the sin that's
right.
Going on in this world today.
Yeah.
See, in the days of Elijah, we are in the days of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also,
repeating itself.
If we're in the days of Elijah, we're also in the days of Elisha.
Yep.
Because Elisha received everything that, double, he received everything that Elijah had. He was like a continuance of Elijah.
Sure was.
You know, he gave up everything, and he
followed Elijah,
and he never turned away. He caught the mantle. He
double
caught the anointing,
mm-hmm.
And he went forth and he did what he was supposed to do. Well, a lot of the other prophets stood off from a long distance.
Right.
But you know what? We need to join up. We need to be that Elisha company,
mm-hmm.
or that body of Christ, or you might call it the Saints Movement. Some
Amen.
People call it the Saints Movement. Bishop
right.
Hammond calls it the Saints Movement.
Right.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different titles you might put on it. But why don't we say the Elisha anointing? And move on and do, because they had a lot of obstacles.
Sure did.
Well, you know, we're going to have a lot of obstacles because the main people, the main media, they want the things that are sinful.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to keep
abortion.
They want to
propagate it. Yep.
They want to keep
same-sex marriage.
They want to keep the things that come against God's word.
That's right.
Well, if we look at the people in the Bible, like the Maccabees we've been talking about, they came against all of that control and authority. But you know, a lot of the Jewish people followed
Antiochus,
the wickedness.
They
followed him because they didn't want to die. Yeah. They wanted their family to be able to eat.
They wanted
on the last days. What's going to happen?
People same thing.
Will take the mark of the beast because they don't want their children to starve.
That's right.
You know, but you know, there are people like we say, oh, Americans not being persecuted. Well, we are not being persecuted. Look at some countries. Some people right now would say, you know, they're in the worst place they could be because people are being killed. Christians, churches are being burned down. You know, people are dying in other places in the country because they standing up for their belief in Christ.
That's right. Well, it's going on over the world, yeah.
That hasn't happened here as of yet, and I pray it doesn't happen, but we got to be like the Maccabees. So we've been blessed to be able to have a president that's for the people and for the truth, and a vice president, too, who knows God.
That's right.
And they walk together.
Hallelujah.
So we need to pray for both of them. We need to pray for those around them, their families. And we need to join in and become that hammer as well. Because if we do nothing,
they'll have what they want.
Nothing's going to happen.
If we see it already.
If we just sit around on our seats of nothing, do nothing, and we don't stand up for righteousness, we don't preach righteousness on the word. If we don't preach righteousness on this radio station, we should leave. We should be off this radio station. And somebody needs to be on here preaching righteousness. So we need to preach truth and righteousness. And so we have examples in the Bible of people who did the right thing.
Hallelujah.
And God blessed them.
Sure
look what
did.
Happened with the Maccabees.
That's right.
I can think of someone else. I can think of Jehu.
That's right.
Well, I don't know who we're going to talk about, but there are a lot of parallels in the Bible where we can see somebody rose up.
That's right.
See, God always has a man or a woman that will rise up and raise the standard.
And do what's right.
That's what this radio broadcast is called, raising the standard. And that's what we want to do in our lives. That's what we want to see happen in our family, our children. And that's what we want to see happen in our city, in our state. See, our state says our motto is, in God we trust.
In God we trust, yeah.
In God we trust. Well, what are they trying to do now? They want to take things like that off of state models. They want to take crosses that are being taken down. What does a cross represent? It represents our altar.
Yep.
It's Yeshua paid a price on that cross. And so they want to take down that, they want to take crosses down all across America.
That's right.
They want to remove them. It's an offense to these people that don't know Christ, that don't want to know Christ.
The Bible
Christ,
says because
Jesus.
Of the word, yeah.
That's right.
They're offended because of the word.
And so what are we doing? Why is that happening? Things that have been up for a long time, 100 years, 200 years, that all of a sudden it's taken down. See, we got to rise up, and we pray that our president does too. Amen.
But the key thing is, that's a minority group that's doing that.
They're ruling, aren't they?
Yeah, we're the majority. So why don't we stand up and forbid this? You're talking about Judah the Maccabee. You know, when Antiochus came, and think about it, he killed 40,000 Jews right there in Jerusalem area. Think about that.
Mothers and babies.
Yeah, no wonder people ran in fear, and they said, "Well, we better follow him. We're going to die." Well, the same thing's going to happen in the end if we don't stand up and forbid these things from happening. And a lot of things are going to happen because the Word says it's going to happen. But we have to be the ones that are strong. We need to have a lot of Judas the Maccabees out here
so
today.
We have a window of time.
We sure do.
We have a window of time.
That's right.
And so we need to see through that window, see what God wants us to do. We need to be obedient. See, the Bible says that obedience is better.
Than sacrifice.
Than sacrifice.
You got
so
it.
If we have to sacrifice something of our own or even our lives.
Or our pleasures.
Or pleasures,
what we like, yeah.
We need to be obedient because eternal things will last forever.
That's right.
You know, houses and stuff, and that's not going to last forever.
Those are all
but
temporary.
But eternal things, people's souls,
yeah.
Will last forever someplace.
Right. I got a word this week, didn't we? I was reading this book we were reading from Jonathan Cahn about the paradigm, and I was thinking about this. You know, Maccabee, he came in and did what needed, you know, Judah the Maccabee. But this Lord gave me this word. He says, there's a new sheriff in town. And Judah the Maccabee, he was the new sheriff that came in and organized mm-hmm. this and got it going. Mm-hmm. And so I believe with all my heart, you know, President Trump is a new sheriff in town, and things are going to be done differently. And so we praise God for that.
I just got a text from a saint that goes to our church, and she was, I guess, seeking the Lord. And she said she just received a word. And the word is bridal transformation. Well, that's a powerful word.
Yeah.
Bridal transformation. We're the bride of Christ.
That's
we
right.
need to be transformed,
transformed
into that image of a bride. A
That's
lot
right.
of the bride, they do not look like a bride.
No.
Okay, if you're going to a church and you say that you are born again, that means that you're the bride of Christ. Well, how does a bride dress? I think about how some women and men come to church.
Yeah.
Barebacked, short skirts, up to their...
Shorts, even.
up to their, you know, short skirts. I mean, you can't, you bend over, you're going to see something, you know.
Yeah.
And I think about, is that how a bride should dress? Or shouldn't we be decently and dressed properly?
That's right.
And look right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these women, not just young girls, a lot of these women are wearing these tight pants. I can't think of what they call them. And they wear these shirts that hang over them, right? Well, if you look at the way the shirts hang, you know, it's not feminine. I mean, it's not decent looking. It's not decent looking. And they wear them to church. And they think, well, I'm covered. Well, just because you have leggings on or whatever these tight pants are, it's form-fitting, and they're showing their shape. And it's really, even though they're not naked, it reveals things that I don't think that should
yep.
be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and but people don't think about that. And you don't just see them on young girls. You see them, I see them on older women, my
yeah.
age, you know, older women. And, well, it's a style. Well, do we have to stay in style? Or do we want to stay decent? Do we want to look right? Do we want
and
to
please
have
God,
any,
yes.
any? Do we want to have any form of something not looking proper? You know, I'm not saying I'm judging people that do that wear that. But is it ignorance? Is it because everyone else is doing it, and oh, it's okay. You know, well, it's not okay. But
tells you Timothy how to dress,
and dresses that their whole back is open, you know,
yeah.
let alone some of them have their fronts open too,
that's right.
you know. Oh, Lord, well, we could go a lot of places with this, but, you know, this bridal transformation, God is wanting to transform us. We should be transformed into the image of Christ, right? And we need to be holy. He says, be holy as I am holy. Well, how do you seek holiness? You don't seek worldliness to find holiness. No.
Nope.
You don't seek fashion.
Mm-hmm.
What's fashionable? Well,
yeah.
I don't have that.
Or what everybody else is doing or wearing. Yeah. Yeah.
Look decent. Look proper. Be covered, you know.
That's it. So, you know, we've lost the I would call it, the morality has been desensitized.
A sensitivity.
And we don't have that sensitive thought that God would want us to dress and to look so that we will be honoring the Lord.
That's
and
right.
not looking like the world out there. So
that's right.
There's a lot of things we could talk about, and it needs to be changed. Well, we got a new sheriff in town, and so he's not going to talk about dress, I don't think, that much, but he's going to take away a lot of
his
other things.
His name is President Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
And he is going to be, he's a hammer.
He sure is.
He's going to tear down and he's going to build.
Look what he's already done.
So, well, the Bible talks about tearing down and building.
Right. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 1. If you're at home, you can open up your Bible.
Okay.
The Lord, just while you were talking, I went to this. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10 here.
Okay.
Listen to what Jeremiah spoke here by the Lord. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. So he was going to speak on God's behalf. I believe that Donald Trump is God's man right now. And God is speaking through him with a lot of things. He's kind of blunt sometimes and all, but he comes right to the point. The Bible comes right to the point.
The Bible's blunt too, isn't it?
It's very blunt. Doesn't cut around, and there's no shadow understanding what it is.
Well, so, not all Bibles.
No, but this King James does. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And I believe that Donald Trump's receiving, a lot. And he's got those pastors praying with him all the time, and they pray in the morning. And then look at next verse 10. Wow, I like this. He says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, this is a pretty powerful verse. The root out here means to uproot. So look at all the things he's uprooted already for what God showed him.
And you've got to do that before you can rebuild. Like
That's
I
right.
said, you can't build on old structure.
That's right.
Or old policies.
That's right.
You got to get rid of the old policies.
Right.
Like Obamacare. You
got to
get rid of them.
But I think about over in Daniel 9, it says when about Israel coming back to the land and all that, it said that they were going to rebuild. Well, think about it. You can't rebuild until you restore what was torn down. And so this is what we're
That's
thinking.
That's right.
So he's talking about rooting out and doing things a new way.
And what happens when you take a hammer and you hit a rock?
Yeah. A lot of sparks come, don't they?
And splatters. You
that's
know,
right.
You watch out, and then you gotta clean it up. You gotta
right.
get rid of it.
And then the next part is what we're going to uproot. And then it says to pull down. We got to pull down all these things that he's pulling down right now. He's coming against this abortion thing, and all these CEOs now are panicking. They're all resigning on their positions and all that. And then it says and to destroy some of the things that have been taught and all as we've allowed in our country needs to be totally destroyed. And I'll say it clearly. You know, abortion should be destroyed. Homosexuality and same-sex marriage should be destroyed. The Bible says it's an abomination to God. It's a sin. And so we've whitewashed it. We call it an alternate lifestyle. It's not. It's sin. And look at the next thing here. And to throw down. To throw down. And to build. Then you see, after you do all this, after you root out, pull down, and destroy, throw down, then you do what? You build. And then you begin to plant something anew, become something new again. Isn't that nice?
You want to plant what's right.
So we want to plant. We want to plant righteousness. So I was thinking about these patterns in the Bible, and Donna mentioned the one with Joseph, and there's a lot of them. And we even have this. We talked about Hanukkah here, about what this despot did when he came in. And we know it's a parallel, it's a pattern to what? To this false Messiah that's going to come. Well, that happened, many hundreds of years ago. But see, now it's going to repeat itself in the last days. And this is what we see. So I was overlooking at Matthew 24 a while ago.
Things repeat, and there's patterns.
There's patterns with it. So I'm in Matthew 24 now, if you want to turn over there with me. And I want to just read a couple of verses here. And this just shows you what God's trying to tell us here. Verse 15, Jesus said this, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." Now, the audience he was talking to right now, that was not going to happen in their day. Mm-mm. It didn't happen in their day. And it's still not happening. It's hundreds of years away. But we had a pattern with what happened with Antiochus and the abomination that he set up. Remember, he took that statue of Zeus, put his face on it, and he went in the temple, declared himself to be God. Well, that's what's going to happen again at the end. So it's a repeat. And then the next verse says this. He tells them then. He says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains." Well, that's going to happen one day during Jacob's trouble. So here's a pattern that's being fulfilled. We heard another one this week. Now, we read a book that we finished by Jonathan Cahn called The Harbinger, or not The Harbinger, that was his one first book. This one's called The Paradigm. And he was looking at things that happened 3,000 years ago. And it's amazing. And it started with Joram, and then with Ahab, Jezebel, and then Jehu came on the scene. It's amazing when you look at the patterns. That happened 3,000 years ago. And it all fits in with the Clintons, what they did in their years with the political arena. Obama, it's all there. And what I liked about Jehu, and really listened to when we read the book, was, you know, he was a king. He was an officer as a king for 28 years approximately. But he wasn't a perfect king. He didn't follow everything that God said, but he had one heart that he had that he went after. He wanted to destroy the Baal worship, which was producing the destruction of children and the fires and all that.
Which Jezebel started.
And so
Ahab, he was a king. He agreed with her.
That's right.
And so they put sin in the camp. You know, there was a lot of sin in the
sure
camp.
Sure was. And it all started from Naboth, with that, you know, when they wanted to take his field. And his vineyard.
Who is a real advocate for abortion in our country?
The Clintons.
Hillary Clinton.
They really pushed it. Yeah.
Right.
And the Democrats are still pushing it, okay?
It's interesting, these parallels in this book, you know, they actually amount to the same number of years.
Absolutely.
That Jezebel ruled with,
that's right,
with her husband and then also with her son.
And even after Ahab died, she was there just like...
With her son.
When Clinton was removed, well, then who was there? His wife took over and did all that.
And Obama put her in place there, too.
Yeah, Secretary of State, all the stuff that was
all
done.
All these things happened. There's all these parallels. It was just amazing.
But Jehu went across, he went against, what, Baalism. And he succeeded, and they got it out of the land for the time that he was a king. So that was one good thing that he did for God, you know.
Right.
So he took care of that. So Jehu, it was interesting to see how the parallels with him. So who do we have wanting to do that today now? Donald Trump, our president, he wants to eliminate this free choice about just having an abortion for anything at all. Now, it's a law now, so that means it would have to be what? Repealed somehow. How are they going to do that? Only God knows, but if we got somebody back there pushing it, talking about it, maybe it could happen. Amen?
Hopefully it can happen, but you know, a lot of times somebody has only so much control because, you know, and even during the days of Israel continued to sin.
Sure they did.
And when the people when people want things that are wrong, it's hard. But see, that's why the Church of Jesus Christ, has to get behind
the righteous things
that our president wants to do. And we have to join in and be part of that.
And we can't whitewash it and water it down.
No, we're the body of Christ, and we need to be part of that. You know,
that's right.
We need to be the nails that the hammer's putting in the right boards, or whatever, however you want to say it. But we need to join in. We can't just sit back and be afraid. You know, fear is of the devil. And we can't be afraid, because we're going to be persecuted.
Nope.
Well, the Bible says we're going to be persecuted.
If we serve Jesus the right way, you'll be persecuted.
We've been persecuted for things that we've said, things that we've taught, or that we didn't even say that we've been accused of. Right. So, you know, we're going to be persecuted.
Sure.
But we got to continue and stand for what is right. You know, those that won't, well, they're going to pay a price. They're going to suffer loss.
That's right.
You know, but if we press in and we stand for what is right, and we pray that our president does, and we pray for his safety and his life.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
That's right.
Because, you know, the enemy wants to come after and destroy the righteous seed. Well, that's all happened down through Bible all along. The enemy's always wanted to destroy the righteous seed. And who does it lean to? It goes to Christ.
That's right.
And if you look at examples of all those people that led to the Messiah, the devil has always tried to destroy the seed, the righteous seed.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go to Isaiah with you for a moment. Go and talk. I'm going to turn over to Isaiah.
Thank you, Lord.
We know that the enemy's try. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we have to stand up. And it's funny, he does it so subtly, and over a period of time, then we get desensitized to it, even the way we dress, the way we talk, the things we see, and we just begin to accept it. Well, see, God says, you got to come out from among them. That's what the Bible tells us. But see, most Christians don't want to come out from among the world. They want to have all their pleasure, go on their vacations, and go to church once a week or whatever.
What about we compromise with our churches?
That's right.
Churches compromise in what's truth.
That's it.
They compromise. And so then people, they'll go to these churches even though they compromise, because they may like the worship or they may like the pastor. But yet the pastor sets a standard, or the apostle sets a standard.
That's it.
You know, I've been accused of different things. And, you know, I could let it just put me on a shelf and say, okay, I quit. But, you know, I've got prophetic words, and, you know, and I hear from the Lord.
You sure do.
And God's given me things that he's told us to do. And I have brought it to you, and we have prayed about it, and we've come into agreement. You know, I don't try to override you or try to control you, you know, because we come to agreement on what God wants us to do. And we walk together. But what about somebody who's going to go to a church just because there's something they like there? And now, it may not be all truth, and they're looking, they like certain things, so they may compromise even the Bible that they're reading out of, or the Bible that the preacher is preaching out of, and they may know that it's not true.
So they might be getting partial truth.
I've got my King James Bible, but yet when you're going to a church that is preaching out of, say, the NIV, now I could probably get some phone calls on this because people aren't going to like what I say, but things in the NIV Bible, many things are not true. And it's twisted.
Or been changed. Yeah.
It's been changed.
Or left out.
So they say, well, I've got my King James Bible, I can see. But it doesn't, I don't care what. If you're listening to somebody who's preaching out of another translation, and it's not true, you can't tell me it's not going to affect you. In time, it will affect you. In time, everything will affect us.
If you're living with
somebody who is not on fire for the Lord, in time, their negative attitude will pull you back, will pull you down, will pull you away from the truth.
That's right.
So, you know, the Bible says the truth will make us free. But when we are involved, or we are in communication or doing things that are or with people that are a negative or against certain things that are truth, then you know what? It eventually will bring us back down. It will bring us down to... See, the enemy wants to bring us down to somebody else's level.
That's right.
We need to rise above that, and it's more difficult to do that when you have a negativity around you, and you have people who talk to you
and question what you're doing
that are negative. Question what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. It could discourage me from doing things that God has called me to do.
That's right.
Well, you know, it doesn't. And so, but that's how the enemy works, because he wants to stop the plans and the purposes that God has for us to do. Now, we're coming into a new year, right? Yeah. We're going to be moving into a new building.
Another building,
yeah. In a new building in a month or two. We'll be moving into a new building. Well, I haven't seen the new building, but I believe that the new building is what God wants us to have, because this is what God has put before us.
Uh-huh.
Why am I going to question what God wants us to have when we have the prophecy and it's typed up that God would give us real estate to deal with? Okay, well, unless God gives us another word, I have to follow the word that he's already given us.
That's right.
I can't follow the word that some person is giving me or telling me that, oh, it's going to be more difficult for you because you're another year older. Well, you know, if God wants us there, God will provide the way. He'll provide the finances. If not, we retire. No, yeah. I don't have a problem with retiring. We can retire right now from the church and continue the radio program. We can continue the church and retire from the radio program.
Whatever.
We can do whatever God wants us to do. We can retire from doing the Bible marathon. That would be a lot. That would take a lot of burden off of our shoulders, right? But if God has called you to do something, God will supply the need, and He will give you the strength.
And he wants us to be faithful to that. That's the key thing.
As long as we're faithful to that, that's true. That's important. As long as we're faithful to that, he will supply the need, whether it be people, finances, favor. Look at the favor we have with this county.
Yeah, and the city especially, yeah.
We and the city and the mayor. We have favor with these people. And so, and we have been given a blessing, really.
Right.
They have spoken a blessing over us and over the people in this city and declared Bible reading.
Yeah, that's right.
A Bible reading week. How many cities declare Bible reading week and counties declare Bible reading week?
Not very
in
many.
In a proclamation.
That's right.
You know, proclamation is something you need to stand upon. We met with a group of people. A lot of them were pastors and leaders and with other churches. And they had proclamations. And we read those proclamations. Proclamations are important. They're declarations. And they're things that we need to keep in our heart. And they're promises. You know, when you make a declaration, it has to stand. They can't come back and take that away from you.
There has to be something behind it.
I have that proclamation.
Yeah.
I have 17 of them. And they all have a seal on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the city this year forgot to put the seal on. Just not the county, but the city.
Yeah.
And so I went down to the city.
They had them put it on there.
Right. And I said, you know, we got this proclamation. It's wonderful. But, you know, the seal's missing. Oh, she was so, you know, upset. And she says, oh, I'm so sorry. She took it and she immediately went and she put the seal on there. Well, that seal is important.
Sure is.
And, you know, we have a seal, the blood of Jesus.
And the Holy Ghost, hallelujah.
And the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost gives us power.
That's right.
And authority. And he speaks to us. He leads us into all truth. And, you know, we can't be fooled or be led astray by other people, by our own thoughts, actually.
Yeah.
Our own thoughts. Because, when you know, when negative things come your way, it triggers thoughts in your mind.
To question things, right.
To question you.
Yeah.
And to make you feel sad or to make you feel bad or to discourage you. But you know what? You get back in the Word of God. The Word of God will encourage you. So, you know, our president needs to be encouraged. And
sure
he has
does.
A lot of people around him who do encourage him.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he has a lot of the enemy around him, too.
That's right.
You know, you always have both. And
that's right. You always have the sandbox.
And there's more
you?
Of the enemy than there is of the those that are for him.
Yeah.
But because look at just the vote they had about the tax. All the Democrats, they all voted against. They weren't.
Not
one voted for it.
Right.
You know. So, but he doesn't let that opposition
hold him back.
Opposition. I think opposition will sometimes shoot you
and strengthen you.
And it will be like an arrow. It right. might be an arrow in your heart and hurt for a while,
yeah.
but I believe that opposition will strengthen us to go on to do the right thing. But people who compromise, and I think there's a lot of people who compromise by listening to people who are teaching the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And so we want to give you the truth. We want to give you what we believe God says. And if we're wrong, you know, God will will show us, and he will straighten us out. We got to believe that God will straighten us out, you know. I think about Elijah. You know, Elijah lived during this time of Jehu, and
Jezebel. Yeah, and Jezebel was there,
well,
right?
Well, especially Jezebel. You know, Jezebel hated Elijah. You know, and he challenged the prophets of Baal.
Sure did.
Elijah challenged them, and that's an awesome thing to see how God provided there and provided the water there. You know, if you read, we're not going to read the story, but go read the story. Go read about Elijah. And how, you know, Jezebel wanted to kill him. Well, there are many people who want to kill our president, but he's also a hammer. I think Elijah was like a hammer. And
sure
Elisha
was.
And the Lord's telling me, this is the year of the hammer. You know, we got to join in. We got to be part of the tearing down. We got to be part of the building up. You've got to have some tearing down before you can build.
That's what it
we
says.
We can't build on rubbish. We don't want to build on a rubbish field.
That's right.
It's almost like I see, you know, you got a whole field of just rubbish. You're not going to just start building on that rubbish. You got to clear the field.
Sure do.
You know, when you build a house, you got to get the rocks out. You got to clear the field. Well, you got to pat the dirt down, make it solid, make it firm. And before you start setting the wires, and I think about the church on Andros Island, you know, I watch the pictures and I see the wires before you can put the concrete in. There's almost so many things you have to do. You have to set an order, and you have to set, what is it they put up there before they, the walls that hold the walls and everything. You have to have things that help.
The headers had to be put in.
Everything has to be done properly. You have to set in. You can't just start pouring concrete without setting the metal in.
That's right.
To make it strong. So God, it's like the word of God. It has to be strong in us, and we have to follow the truth. But many people, because of the days we live in, they are swaying from the truth. Even Christians, they're swaying from the truth by listening to teachings that are not of God.
They're fully the truth.
And so people who are teaching the truth, there's going to be great persecution.
Sure.
And those who want to live the truth, there's going to be great persecution against them. And they're going to say, well, you know, you're judging me, you're judgmental, or you're legalistic. You're legalistic because you believe in the Torah. Well, the Torah never has ended. It's still in my Bible. They didn't take it. It's in every Bible, actually.
And keeping God's commandments is not legalistic.
No, it's not. We are to follow the Torah. Those are the teaching and instructions. You know, they call it law. Well, the Torah is the law. But it's the teaching and instruction to show us how to live our life, how to live godly life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we understand Paul's teaching, he never came against the Torah. He said the Torah was good for us.
It was spiritual.
And it's spiritual.
Today.
And it teaches us.
That's right.
So we should never get tired or bored of the Torah. And we can learn lesson after lesson. We're going through the Torah now, and we're almost finished with the book of Genesis. We have one more lesson in it. But we've been talking about Joseph. You know, there are so many patterns in Joseph's life to show us how we should live. Joseph never came against his brothers.
Nope.
Even though they did him wrong.
That's it.
They did him wrong. But he never once came against his brothers.
Absolutely not.
How many people come against their brothers and sisters in the Lord?
And leadership in churches as well.
He never once came against them. He loved them, and he provided for them, and he did everything he possibly could do for them. He provided for them. You know, they were in the best place. Goshen, they were in the best place. They were even took care of Pharaoh's cattle.
That's right.
You know, but Joseph, he loved his brothers, and he knew exactly which ones did what. You know, he knew exactly. So he didn't pick and choose.
That's right.
No, he loved each one of them as his family, his brother.
He had no favorites, did he?
Well, how are we about the family of Christ?
Right.
We need to love. So this year is new beginnings. 8 is the number of new beginnings. 8 is also a number of, if you look at the 8, it's eternity. You know, and it's also the cycling. It cycles around and around and around. And so we see these patterns throughout the Bible that cycle.
And they repeat over and over.
And they repeat.
That's right.
And it's like God's calendar. God's calendar cycles. God's feasts come and they go. And they come in an order. Well, We need to celebrate the feast. We need to know about the feast, and we need to be part of it because we're joined in. We are connected to the truth. We should be connected to the truth. And so if we're connected to the truth, we need to be connected to the feast of the Lord, because we're not going to know about the end times and the last days if we don't know about the feast. And that brings me to, we have just got some more new books, because the books go and they come. The book that you wrote about the pictures of the Messiah,
yeah,
it has God's calendar in it. It explains about the calendar. It has all the feasts of the Lord in it. It talks about Revelation and Daniel and many things. It's all prophetic. Everything is the Word of God. Everything is backed up by two or three scriptures. There's everything is, as far as we know, we seek in the truth. And, you know, if we find something in there that the Lord shows us differently, we change the page. We redo it. We update it.
That's why we keep it loose leaf. Yeah.
That's right. It's bound in a spiral binder, and it's only $25. It's actually, you know, you can teach it. It's a Bible course, and it's not according to any. It's according to the King James. It's not according to anybody else's beliefs. It's just what God says. And there's charts in there that shows all the charts of the end time. And that's in the book of Revelation. Talks about all the charts and all the feasts. And you can see. And all the numbers.
How it all fits together.
God has numbers and dates.
That's right.
And months. And if we don't know the numbers and the dates and the months and the new moons and the full moons, then we're not understanding prophecy. So we need to understand prophecy.
I don't hear too many people sharing those kind of things though today, Pastor Don. They don't.
So order that book. If you'd like to have it, just give us a phone call. Area code 772-285-7007. We don't make any money off that book.
No, we don't.
No, but that book has gone many places, and people are teaching that in Bible studies and home studies and in different Baptist churches, different, you know, it's not a denominational book.
Nope.
It's just the Word of God.
And I never copyrighted it. So you can Xerox any, I don't care. It's not my work, it's his, where you can Xerox the charts, you can do whatever you want with it. I'm not trying to make any money off of it. It's out there to bring the truth to the body of Christ today, that we've been robbed of stuff that we should have known years ago.
Amen.
And it's been taken away from us because we went into this Christian mindset that we have today, and we'd rather be here a bunch of other stuff that's got nothing to do really with what God's doing today. And so this is showing us, the Bible is showing us where we're even at today, how close we are. And so,
the cost is basically what it cost us to print it and the mailing it, you know.
That's it, yeah.
So, you know, so if you want it, give us a call. We'd be glad to mail you one. You can, as soon as we get your check, you'd have it next week.
Yeah.
And the book is $25 plus shipping and handling. So, you know, add $5 for the mailing, $30, and you've got a study that you can study. Like, for instance, the next thing that's coming up is
Purim.
Purim. Purim was not one of the seven main feasts, but Purim is very important.
Very important.
We're going to be talking about
and the
Purim.
Dates when it's going to be on the calendar.
And the dates, yeah, and you know, even the things that happened during Purim also relate to some of the things that we've been talking about.
That's right.
Because it happened, you know, she was made queen during the seventh day, I believe it is, of Hanukkah. Well, you know, and then, you know, that next day, the eighth day, means rejoicing in
That's
the Torah.
Right.
Well, we know that Yeshua is the Torah. But see, if we don't know some of these key words, you know, there are a lot of key words in the Bible which will show us things to come.
That's right.
So if we don't know these things, and we say, well, rejoicing in the Torah, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm rejoicing in God's Word? Does that mean I'm rejoicing in the Bible? Well, then we say, well, what is the Torah? Well, we got to realize the Torah is the Word of God.
Not the law.
And who is the Word of God? Well, see, ask a question. If you ask a question, the Holy Spirit will give you the answer.
It sure will.
And you say, well, what is the Word of God?
Kassam,
well, this
Rabbi.
Is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. Yes, that's true. But who is the Word of God? Well, go read what it says in John.
That's right.
Yeshua is the Word. Yeshua.
Quite clear. Jesus, the very first verse.
Jesus is the Torah.
That's right.
So what are we reading? That when we read the Torah, we're reading the words of God. We're reading Jesus, what Jesus
That's right.
said, what God said.
And so we rejoice in that, don't we?
So when you rejoice in the Torah, we're rejoicing in the Lord, in
That's
Jesus,
right.
in Yeshua.
And it gives us the instructions how to walk a holy life with
a
Him.
A holy life. And we, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying we need to know that His name, His mother didn't call Him Jesus.
Nope.
His mother called Him Yeshua or
True.
Yahshua.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't know exactly his Hebrew pronunciation. I've heard different people say it different ways. I've seen people spell it different ways. But you know, let's don't get
hung up on that.
Hung up on every little detail, yeah. Even though I know every dot and every tittle has got to be right. But, you know, I'm not born Jewish. I don't speak Hebrew, although I do know the Hebrew alphabet. And I do know some of the what the words mean and some of the letters. And every single Hebrew letter has a meaning, you know. And every single Hebrew letter is different than the other languages because every Hebrew letter has a number.
That's right.
And it has a meaning. And it spells words. It's, you know, it's built upon several different things. You know, our alphabet's not like that.
Nope.
No, we have numbers that are separate. We have letters that are separate. Yeah. Our alphabet's not like that. The only one that's the same with the numbers, I think, is the Greek, isn't it?
The Greek, yeah. They have a gematria also. They have a number assigned to each letter also.
Right. But other languages don't. So there's nothing. But the Hebrew is what we need to know because that's what's in the Bible.
Right.
Amen.
Now let's look at this real quick. We're down to about 7.5 minutes here. If we go to Isaiah chapter 9, these two verses that I'm going to read is what was revealed by the Lord to Jonathan Cahn to write the book about the harbingers. And so this was referring to the northern tribes of Israel, and their capital was Samaria. We talked about Jehu. That's the area that Jehu and all those men that were around that time, those kings, Ahab and all, they were in Samaria. That was the capital at that time. So it says this in verse 9, it says, "And all the people shall know, even Ephraim," that's the northern tribes, "the inhabitants of" what? "Samaria, that day in the pride and stoutness of heart." He warned them what he was going to do and they wouldn't listen. And then they were arrogant against what God wanted them to do. And then verse 10 says, then they said this, "The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones," something even stronger. "The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into" what? "Into cedars." And it talks about, the next verse talks about Rezin. He was the last king of Syria. And so Jonathan Cahn used that to teach the thing about the harbingers. Now you go over here.
Wasn't that repeated by one of the senators?
Oh yeah, they spoke it. Three of them spoke it in the Capitol building.
In the Capitol building,
including President Obama, because it sounds good. But this was a judgment that came.
It was a judgment, but they were looking at it as a blessing.
That's right.
And even the tree that saved that little church Washington D.C., where President George Washington dedicated our nation God,
mm-hmm.
right? That little church.
That tree saved
the church, but that little tree died.
Yeah.
And so they thought, well, we'll put a stronger tree in there.
Yeah.
And what do? They planted another tree in that hole, which they thought was a stronger tree, but that tree did not live. That
it died too.
So, you know, the old ways are not going to work anymore.
That's right.
So this is a new year.
Yeah, a new time.
New beginnings. Mm-hmm. Eight's a number of new beginnings, mm-hmm. and we need to be that hammer that God's called
us
to be.
Let me read these few verses before we close. We're in the same chapter. I'm going to go to verse 13 now. The prophet speaks here, Isaiah. It says, "For the people turneth not unto him that" what? "Smiteth him." See, the Lord's he's punishing them, and they're thinking it's going to be some kind of a blessing, I guess.
Right.
"Neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel"
yes.
"head and tail, branch and rush in one day."
Yes.
Well, the head here is talking about the elders, and the tail are what? Who would the tail be then? Huh?
I don't know.
The lying prophets.
Oh, the lying prophets.
Yeah. They're the lying prophet.
There were lying prophets in Elijah's time.
That's right. In verse 15 says, these are the ancient elders and honorable. He is the head, okay? And the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail.
He's the tail.
And then this is the key verse. For the leaders of this people cause them to err. You know, there's a scripture Jesus said, "Smite the shepherd and the people scatter." People do that. They smite the shepherd and they wonder why churches are falling apart. Because they can't say good things about him.
Mm-hmm.
So, of the people. I'll read this again. For the leaders of the people cause them to err, not teaching the truth like you talked about earlier. And they that are led of them, what? Are destroyed.
Wow.
So if you follow every little thing down the pike, and you may get destroyed. You may not die and kill you, but something spiritual is going to happen in your life that's going to change. Like even we talked about reading these other translations. There's thoughts put into your mind as you read that, and makes you think a different way, maybe because they've changed the words and all that. But we want the truth and nothing but the truth. And so we have this all through the scriptures. God talked about the lying prophets that didn't tell the truth. We need to be in tune to understand, not believe everything because he's well known. He wrote a lot of books or whatever. It doesn't matter. What is he saying? Hallelujah.
Not only are there lying prophets, Yeah. Even today.
Yeah, lying pastors.
But there's lying pastors.
That's right.
That's right. And lying apostles.
That's right.
And lying teachers.
Yeah.
You know, if the lie can grow, that's what will bring destruction.
And to propagate it, yeah.
And that's what the enemy wants to do. It says that Satan is a liar from the beginning, right? He lied to Eve. He lied to Adam.
Sure.
He's a liar right from the very beginning.
And what did he question him with right up front? Did God really say that? Well, God did say that, so that's what we got to stay with. And people want to change. We got all these movements in the church, you know, this emergent church. I could go on and on, you know, all these different moves that they got going on, and they're slowly perverting it and taking Christ more and more out of the issue. It's up. We can be as great as we want to be, you know. So that's not the case. We need the truth from the Word of God.
Well, even the Bible, you know, if you're a pastor and you believe that. Well, it's good to have maybe 10 or 15 versions in here. Now, let's all take a turn reading this scripture.
That's right.
Well, you know what? They think, well, this will give us deeper understanding. No,
nope.
It's only going to bring you into more confusion.
Confusion.
And what does confusion to bring? Confusion will bring arguments.
That's right.
And disputes and debates.
Friendships will break up. A lot of things happen over the Word.
That's right. And it will cause, it just brings lies.
That's it.
So, and questions and people questions in their mind. And so it gives them a reason to be able to believe the lie. See, they think that they've got a holy Bible, but they don't have
a holy Bible.
They have an unholy Bible.
Before we close, let me recommend a book for all of you listening to read.
That sounds good.
A woman by the name of Gail Ripon, she wrote a book called New Age Bible Versions.
New Age Bible.
Yeah. And when I read it, it broke my heart. Every pastor should read that book, and if they do, I'm telling you, their heart will be broken. They will cry before they get done to the end of the book, and they'll realize that they're teaching out of the wrong book that God doesn't want people to hear. And so, but order the book.
You did it. You repented. It took you 6 months, and you cried, and you repented.
But you can buy the book for $20.
We can change, can't we?
Right.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing. And if you'd like to help support it, please give us a call or we send us an offering. We'll give you the address.
Hallelujah.
You can just call us first. I'm going to give the phone number. We have services here in Stuart, Florida, right on Canner Highway, and Friday night at 7 and Sunday morning at 11. So come worship God with us because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I just want us to give the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
So as we close, the King James Bible was completed in the 1600s, the beginning of the 1600s. It has never been changed. Nothing has been added to it. Nothing's been taken away from it all these years. And it's still the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost behind it. So we love this book.
Authorized, and there's no copyright.
And there's no copyright on it. So as we close this program every week, we tell you that we're here because we love you. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. The morals in our country are going the wrong way. It's up to us to show the right way, the righteous way. So we tell you as we close every week to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.